Hey, Billy, put down the pickaxe! It's time for Gold Prospecting Show!
Hey, hey, fellow prospectors, this is JC. Welcome to another episode of the Gold Prospecting Show. This episode, I'm going to change things up a little bit. I'm going to cover how to file a claim, what everything's based off, how you do it. I spent a lot of time here in the last week at the county recorder's office going through it, so hopefully I can make it easier for you, because we're all prospecting, hoping to find the mother lode. And once you do that, you've got to file a claim, which means doing a lot of things with paperwork. Anyways, here we go. Let's get started. But to kick it off, it's going to feel a little bit like... That's right. Almost like Yosemite Sam falling off the cliff. You're going deep into the paperwork hole. But it's not that bad. I tell you, in fact, the reason why I was at the recorder's office this week was I had stumbled across a newspaper article about a bachelor dying on an old ranch here locally. And I was just curious, how long had he lived on the ranch? You know, exactly what the history was, because I do metal detect as well for my prospecting, looking for old coins and interesting relics and things like that, and thought, hey, here's a guy died with no family. Let me see what I can find. Well, it turns out that the ranch the guy was on was this guy's original homestead. He got the first water right certification back in 1913, and when he died, he had lost possession of the ranch for back taxes or a mortgage that he wasn't able to pay off, which obviously says, hey, there might not be much coin around there, but maybe he was keeping his coin as working capital. That's the other thing I was thinking. If you can borrow money, you know, a lot of people do that today. Even if they have the money to buy something outright, they will actually go and finance it. I'm not one of those people, but, you know, the guys may have been keeping their cash for those times where they really needed it. But anyways, this guy had homesteaded on this ranch from 1913 until the time he died in 1930, because even the guy who got the ranch from him let him stay there in the house. So I'm going to try to track that down a little bit further, see if I can find some more information on that one. But anyways, back to the county recorder's office. I'm also going to put this up as a video, and as I walk through things, if you want to reference that, just go to eGoldProspecting.com/12. That's the number 12, and it'll take you to all of the pictures and resources in the video once I get that up as well, so you can actually see what I'm talking about. But the county recorder's office essentially is the place to go, whether you're metal detecting or gold prospecting. If you're metal detecting, you've got to go in there to find property ownership and other things to track down who owns a piece of land for you to get on and prospect, which will be something that I'm doing here in a little bit with that ancient homestead. Not ancient, but, you know, heck, that was 100 years ago now, so I guess it's getting up there in age. But if you are doing any mining as well, you have to do that. And all of that is based off of the Public Land Survey System. Now, that was a system that was set up back in 1851, and essentially everything that was developed since then is based off of this survey system. And it's essentially a way for the government to lay out, line up, track, and everything. And according to Wikipedia, that's just a quick spot that I went to get just the basics for us, the details. I mean, I know how it all works, but to explain it makes it a little bit easier to have something in front of you. But starting about Ohio and then drifting down the Ohio River through Illinois, Indiana, and down the Mississippi, and then across Alabama and down into Florida. Everything except the original 13 colonies, it looks like, was laid out with this public land survey system. And it's based off of meridians. And a meridian is a agreed-upon line running north-south that everything is based off of. And then there's a point of beginning, and everything references off of that. So all of your townships all of your ranges, all of your sections, and everything is based off of that here in more than 3/4 of the landmass of the country. And what they have done is they use that to then track property ownership. And when people were homesteading, they would come in and the 160 acres was a quarter section. So a section was 640 acres. So a quarter section would be 160 acres. And that's what they were homesteading on. And once they proved it up, they were able to get a land patent on it, which is something that I found for this guy here in the local area. And those are all available there in the recorder's office. And a township is broken up into 36 sections. So each quarter section, obviously, is in there. So whatever number that is, 36 times 4, is the number of homesteads that could have been in a section. And one thing that I was looking at was here locally, a lot of the homesteads, they were everywhere. So guys were homesteading as much as they could, but now all of that has been bought up and acquired by older families who didn't go into debt, didn't have to mortgage their properties, and in fact have been able to accumulate up to, 2,000 to 3,000 acres of land out here for running cattle. So those homesteads, yes, right now there's one owner, but each homestead, each 160 acres or so, had a house, it had a laundry line, it had things like that. So that's the background of the public land survey. And what I want to do now is run you through the actual step-by-step process of filing a mining claim. That's a little bit of the background. Now we're just going to dive into the details for a little bit. I'm not going to go too long into this. I don't want to bore you to death and risk you driving off the road if you're driving at the same time, but it's not too bad. Like I said, when we find something that we want to file on, there's a process to follow, and I'll go through that here right now.
Now start praying, because I'm a-blowing you to smithereens at the count of 10.
And that is precisely why, when we're getting ready to file a claim, we want to know exactly where other things are claimed, what's available for claiming, because claim jumping is a serious crime. Make sure you, even if you're just prospecting, that you're maintaining your respect for someone else's claim. So it's always good to know, especially if you're in the active gold areas, exactly where things are claimed. There's not a whole lot claimed in my neighborhood until you get about 2 hours away from me. So we can pretty much prospect everywhere. But I did find, like I said, 2 years ago when I started prospecting, went right to where an old mining claim was. So the process is pretty straightforward, but it can still be difficult. And what we're doing is we're filing claims on unpatented ground. Essentially, it's ground that the federal government owns. And in the mining law of 1872 is the governing law that still governs today. And that is the federal law governing locatable minerals. And it declared that all valuable mineral deposits in land belonging to the United States to be free and open to exploration and purchase. The law provides that citizens of the United States the opportunity to explore for, discover, and purchase certain valuable mineral deposits on public domain minerals. And that was modified a little bit in 1976. And really, it didn't affect the recordation, the process of recording and maintaining claims, but it did require everybody to file claims with the BLM. And ever since then, the BLM's been recording them in addition to the county recorder sites. And that's for the BLM to keep track of locations, the number of unpatented mining claims, mill sites, and tunnel sites. Those are all different levels of mining claims. They're all sort of involved together. A mining claim is a parcel of land for which the claimant has asserted a right of possession and the right to develop and extract a discovered valuable mineral deposit. And it does not include other exclusive rights, such as oil and gas leases and other things. Locatable minerals include both metallic minerals, those would be your gold, silver, lead, and non-metallic minerals, float, spar, asbestos, mica, other things that are valuable. And then they do note here on the BLM site that it's nearly impossible to list all locatable minerals because of the complexity of legal requirements for discovery. But when you find something that you want to claim on, the first thing you need to do is determine the land status. Essentially do an LR2000 search, see if anything is available. And in fact, I would probably recommend if you're at that level where you want to actually file a claim, your first stop should be to the county recorder's office. Because each and every year, somebody has to file and record that they did their assessment work with both the BLM as well as the county recorder's office. And the LR2000 is very slow to update. It was one thing that Mel with Frontier Gold Prospecting down in Arizona told me, is that the BLM could be 6 to 8 weeks behind. All right, so you want to determine the land status. Is it open to mineral claims or not? And is it already claimed or not? Now, the BLM says they have no jurisdiction over matters concerning ownership of claims that are top filed over existing claims. Overstaking should be determined and will be determined through civil court actions between rival claimants. So, cross-staking, overstaking, whatever you want to call it, that's a civil matter, not a federal one. So that's your local district court would take care of that. So, locating or staking a claim, you have to post a location notice in a conspicuous place at the point of discovery of locatable minerals as soon as the discovery is made. Placer claims are monumented at each claim corner to mark the location distinctly on the ground. The maximum size is 20 acres per individual claimant up to 160 acres. So, if eight people or companies get together, they could claim essentially 160 acres in one block as a placer claim. Lode claims have six monuments, each one at each claim corner and in the center of the sidelines. Lode claims are limited to 1,500 feet in length and 600 feet in width, 300 feet on either side of the center line. So that's how you locate and stake your claim. That is staking a claim, literally, staking a claim. There's those requirements. You have to mark each corner of the placer ground and then six monuments on each side of the center line, three on each side for a lode claim. And those location notices have to be filed within 90 days. And that's with the county clerk's office and the BLM state office. So all mining claims must be recorded and accompanied by all the representative fees. Now, currently it's $34 location fee, $140 maintenance fee, and that's actually for the first year of location assessment. So each year there's a maintenance fee, or you have to prove, sign an affidavit and file an affidavit that you've done X amount of work. And I believe it's $100, $150 of work. And then there's also a $15 service fee. That's with the BLM. And anything that's not timely filed with the BLM are going to be rejected and void. But let me tell you how it lays out. Now, the BLM does provide a blank template for filling out information, but let me read you one from 1924 in my neighborhood. And this one is not in the USGS mine report. It goes through, no, all men by these present, that we, the undersigned, each being a citizen of the United States, over the age of 21, under the provisions of an act of Congress entitled An Act to Promote the Development of the Mining Resources of the United States, approved on May 10, 1872, and acts and parts of acts amendatory thereof and supplemental thereof, and then other revised statutes of the United States, in accordance with local customs and rules of miners, have this day discovered, claimed, and located, and by these present, do claim and locate the following described placer mining ground containing a valuable deposit of gold, silver, platinum, consisting of 160 acres for mining purposes, to wit. And then it goes through the legal description, township, range, section, meridian, which is why I spent so much time covering that at the beginning. We do situate in this county in the state of Wyoming, together with all and singular water and timber rights incident thereto, and all rights, franchises, easements, and privileges thereto, and shall be known as the blank claim, and is claimed and located on this ground the 6th day of October 1924. And then it provides the name of the 8 locators. And what I'm going to do, since this one is not in any USGS filing or book or anything, not in the LR-2000, I'm going to do some digging. I'm going to see who were these folks that were actually filing this claim. Were they locals? And see what else I can pull up. But it gives me exactly where to go based off the public land survey system, and I can find exactly what's been going on and how long they worked the ground, how many years they maintained it, and everything else. So that concludes the first episode of How to File a Mining Claim. I hope that helped you out. This is JC with eGoldProspecting.com. Visit me over there. I have this and many other tutorials to help you out in your prospecting, whether you're looking for metal, coins, relics, whatever it might be, or that yellow metal that drives us all crazy. Visit me over there at eGoldProspecting.com. This is JC. May you always find what you're looking for. Talk to you next week, guys. Take care. Thanks to Jason Shaw of Audionautics.com for the music used under Creative Commons license.